Father, thank you for your word. Quicken it to us. Lord, make it real and enable our hearts to receive it so that it may become reality in our life. We just thank you for it, Lord, and thank you that we know that we can trust you and your word and your promises. In Jesus' name, amen. So really what we are talking about is appropriating what Jesus has done or has accomplished for us. For many, this is a problem. And at the most, what they get is feeling a bit better emotionally once they pray the right way. Well, that's not God's will. That's not God's plan. That's not what Jesus died for. And it's our responsibility to receive everything that he has done. And coming short of that is really not appreciating what he went through. The thing is, we have been exposed to 2,000 years of traditions. And Jesus, even in his days, said that man's traditions makes the word of God of no effect, ineffective. We have the power to make God powerless. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, when people doesn't get healed, they show that he does not have the power to do it. Let's face it. We cannot fool ourselves about believing that we believe and we don't believe. We have to wake up to the reality of our condition is, and instead of approaching it the wrong way, like most of the people do, we have to approach it the right way. And what's the right way? What works? Well, there is a lot of change that needs to be taking place inside us, and essentially the place that the change has to take place is in our heart. And we may be willing to for our heart to be changed, but really, are we? That's my question. If we are really willing, then we would be changing. But the thing is, we really aren't. Because we are stuck with our own ideas, and we rather die than change ideas. That happens so far too often. Now, we have to understand some things here. That when we really are born again, something major happened inside us. The Word of God shows that very clearly. I think we understand only a little bit of that. We have just a little bit of revelation about that. But something major takes place in the spirit world. To us, God put his spirit inside us and gives life to our spirit. That means we are, the way he says in 2 Corinthians, you know, we are new creation, new creatures, new beings. We are not anymore normal people. We are peculiar people. Not in the negative sense, but in the unicity that we have. And that should correspond physically to change that takes place in us. Major change. Because it's not just a little bit that happened there. This is a major miracle that took place in us. In reality, when we see what happens to people when they're born again, the physical manifestation can be there, but it's not that much. I mean, you can just see that something started. But there are some really funny ideas that people have about the way God works. And that's the problem. And these funny ideas are generated by the 2,000 years of tradition that we got, that people think that God should work in a certain way, when instead He doesn't. A large majority of believers have accepted, for example, Calvinistic ideas about the way God works. And that's one of the major problems with Christianity today. We had to break through, remove those ideas because they hinder believers from becoming who God wants them to be. And he's recognized as one of the big theologians of Christianity. Well, I'm sorry, he had that he was teaching that is completely unchristian. I'm going to come stronger and stronger on that, and I don't care if people don't like it. Because this is an hindrance for people to become who they should be. I'm going to show you some scripture that not trying to use their argument or the normal argument that Armenians use. I'm going to show some other scripture that if it's true that, then forget it, you're wasting your time being a believer. Jesus said it very clearly that we had to seek. We had to ask. We had, why do you waste your time if God is the one that determines what is going to happen anyway? He has fixed it up before in the beginning, according to them. He's one day wakes up and says, oh, I like this person. Yeah, he's going to be saved. This other person, no, I don't like his face. But that's the reasoning behind that theology. You can do nothing, so what should you pray? Why should you waste your time? It's not going to make any difference anyway. Well, you should pray. Jesus said you should pray. You should seek. Not only said you should seek, but everyone who seek shall find. I mean, not the one that God says, I like his face. That scripture is sufficient to demolish all their arguments about the fact that, God predetermines who is going to be saved and who is not going to be saved. Who is going to be healed and who is not going to... Well, maybe God doesn't want to heal you. Have you read the scriptures? Do the scriptures say, I am the Lord that healeth you? He is your Lord. So he wants to heal you. If you don't get healed, it's because of somewhere or another you're missing it. We come short. And we have to recognize, we blame God for our failures. Blaming God for our failures is just a way to get ourselves in a corner and not be able to get anywhere. We have to accept responsibility for our own decisions and our own action and our own beliefs and for changing some of the things that need to be changed inside ourselves. We take some scripture and make them and distort them according to the traditions of men. And because of that, we get stuck and get nowhere. We take, for example, Psalm that David said, change my heart, Lord. He said, Lord, change our heart. And then he thinks that the heart is going to be changed. That's not the way the heart is changed. Hello. First of all, it's Old Testament. Second, he was demonstrating, speaking out the fact that he was willing to be changed. But God changes your heart because you do certain things. If you are not willing, this is why we need to understand the heart. The heart doesn't get changed because you say, Lord, change my heart. You lazy? Because, you don't want to do anything. I want everything God to do it. When instead God says, give us the responsibility to take some action so that something took place. We always ask God to do the things he had already done, and we ask him again and again and again to do it, when instead we should receive what he has done. Please, Lord, heal me. He did it 2,000 years ago. We shouldn't even ask. We should take. This is what the Bible says. Just read my book on healing. That's the only way for a mature Christian to receive. Because he expects us to honor what he has done. And when we take what he has done seriously, then we are not going to ask, Lord, die again so that you'll take it again on yourself. He has done it already 2,000 years ago. By Jesus' stripes, we were healed. Now, when we come short and we don't receive it, we have to acknowledge that we have come short to believe. Because the only way that we receive from God anything, from being born again, to be healed, to be delivered, to do anything, is by faith. That means by believing. It's our beliefs that makes the difference. The point is, we don't know what we believe. Because what we say we believe generally is not what we believe. See, what we believe is demonstrated by what we do. Or what we can do. And what we are today is the result of what we believed before. That's all. So, this is so important to understand. See, we are in the end time, if we like it or not. And I like it. Okay? I like it because we have the victory. People, I'm transgressing a moment, but I want to say something here. You know, people don't like to read Revelation or because all the stuff that is there. But they are blind. Because Revelation is the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not a negative book. It talks about all the terrible things that are going to happen. But for each of the things that are negative, also says very clearly how to overcome. You see, this is the book that gives us the key to overcome in the last days. So that we don't need to go under like everybody else, but we go on top. That's the time of the manifestation of the sons of God. When we understand what that book says, then we get excited reading it instead of getting scared. Oh, we need revelation for that. That's for another day. You see, but this is part of this. What I'm talking about now is part of the revelation that has to take place in the last day so that we can take the function and have the role that God has planned for us as his children, as sons of God. We are the sons of God if we are born again. And we should not stay children. See, God wants us to grow. See, there is no time anymore to be babies. Okay, the time we are in, we have to grow up. And the interesting thing is that it's happening. It's actually happening all over the place, and it's not something, a denomination or a thing, you know, it's that the Spirit of God is moving, because that's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not the work of the denomination, it's not the work of a group, it's not the work of a person. The truth is brought by the Holy Spirit. See, there are two things that are critical in these days. One is understanding the heart, and that means understanding ourselves, the way we work. And the second is understanding the way the Holy Spirit works, because he is the one doing the work. You see, he is the one working in us. When we understand those two things and we put them together, then we are dynamite. You see, this is what's going to make the difference. We don't need to be afraid of the coming times. We have to get excited about them and start doing what the Word says, because God calls us, actually, God wants us to be overcomers. Overcomers. See, you have to start seeing yourself as an overcomer. When you are facing a difficulty, when you are facing something that you don't know how to do it, when you are dealing with a situation that you find difficult, you have to remind yourself that you are an overcomer. And you cannot be an overcomer in your own strength, you have to be an overcomer in His strength. So you have to connect with Him. As you connect with Him, then things are going to fall in place. You don't need to be a weakling. You don't need to be defeated. God wants us strong in Him. But you know, you can't be strong in Him unless you're really committed. You mean business. You cannot stay on the fence and work as an overcomer and manifest the overcoming power of God. It just doesn't work. Okay? So when we understand that, we understand how important it is really to connect with God and to really have this desire. And we talk about thirsting and hungering, you know, being desiring, wanting so bad. We had to overcome the pull of the flesh. And to do that, there has to be a motivation inside that is stronger than the flesh. You have to have this desire inside yourself stronger than the desires of the flesh to break up in the spirit world. And to have victory. And to become an overcomer. And this is what God wants. And that's what needs to be done these days, because it's not anymore sitting on the fence. There is no way. It's going to get worse and not better. For the people sitting on the fence, they're going to lose it completely. The big falling away is happening already. Just look around and it's happening. When a leader of millions of people call themselves Christians says that all religions bring to God, that's an antichrist statement. Okay? What's an antichrist? Something that is against what Christ said. Christ said very clearly, I am the only way, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Isn't that a statement of the antichrist? And this is seen as leader of Christianity. Sorry. That's the penetration of the spirit of Antichrist into the body. You can say what you want. You can read the Bible, come to your conclusions. You don't need to agree with me, but you have to read the Bible and be honest about what you read and see what's happening in the world. Now, four key concepts I want you to remember as we are going to go through this series. The first one is the promises of God are 100% guaranteed. We discussed that last week, and I'm not going to do it again. You can listen to the tapes, to the record. So, the idea, what I'm saying to you is God is faithful. If He promises something, the Bible says, you know, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. He doesn't change. God is the same. If you can trust what He said, 100, you know, if you cannot trust it 100%, you can never trust Him. Simple as that. Now, if you don't trust Him, you have a trust problem. And that needs to be dealt with. And instead of blaming God because things don't happen, is they say, you know, you just don't trust God. That means you don't believe what He says. The point is, that can be fixed. You have to understand how to fix it. Fix it. Because that's the only way out. Okay, so that's number one thing. You have to come to agree within yourself, come to the conclusion, yes, I can 100% be sure when God said something, that's the way it is. It's not, I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what anybody else got or result they got. Okay? The second thing I wanted to remember. Your salvation, our salvation, is a process, not an event. You see, God could instantaneously do the whole job because he's all powerful. But he doesn't work that way. You see, he let us. It's a question of trust, too. I mean, he trusts that we can do it. I would, you know, if I were him, I wouldn't do it, but because I know how short we come from that. But the point is, he trusts that we can do it. And we will do it. And it will happen. But it would happen over time. Okay. So, this is why when you are saved, you know, you're not completely transformed, you're not completely healed. You know, sometimes there is instantaneous healing, sometimes there is instantaneous transformation, but there is a lot of work to be done yet. Your mind is not fixed up. You're still thinking many of the thoughts and ideas that you had before. You had not a clue when you are saved often what you're doing. I didn't. I don't think you're going to be any different than me. Okay? So, what I'm saying to you is we have to understand that this is a process. And it's not just a question of going to heaven. Going to heaven is just one little part of the whole picture. It's really so self-centered about thinking about going to heaven when you are a part of God's global plan. It's much more than going to heaven. Let me say some things about here. We limit God's ability to do things with our unbelief. This is the truth. This is what the Word says. Psalm 78 verse 40 says, how often they provoked him. See, this is the way you provoke God. In the wilderness. And grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. See, we have the ability to stop God's power from working down here because of our unbelief. That's how much power God has given us. That also comes again to Calvinistic ideas, because how can you do that? God is all powerful and does everything. God is all powerful doesn't mean he can do anything. God cannot contradict his word. If he can do that, he's not God. So, and how did they do that? They did not remember his power the day he redeemed them from the enemy. So you see, you forget. We forget. We are unbelief, just believe certain things. See, hopefully, what happens, and this is God's desire, God's plan, and God's will, is for us to grow in understanding, in appropriating and experience so that we can grow in receiving. Okay, so, third point. Any promise of God is received or appropriated. I prefer the word appropriated because receive is passive. See, it's not a passive thing with receiving things from God. It's an active thing. So it's a question of taking what is yours. See, even revelation, when it comes to you, doesn't come to you because you, one day, out of the blue, something happened. You had to seek God with all your heart, and then he opens the door. The Holy Spirit brings to you the stuff that's been trying to get to you for many years. Moses had the burning bush experience. Don't tell me, you know, he was walking in the desert just like that. He was struggling with the idea of the Jews, his country suffering in bondage, and he was struggling with that, and he was seeking God about that. This is why he had the burning bush experience. Wasn't it one day God said, oh, Moses, I like his face. Oh, I like his beard. It wasn't absolutely that the reason. Oh, he was the chosen one. There is one chosen. Jesus. All the other, and as you come in, as you say yes instead of no. Amen? It's up to us. See, God gives you that freedom to choose. Let me repeat this number three because it's important. Any promise of God is received or appropriated by faith. Like the promised land that was to be possessed by Israel. It took them 40 years because of their stubbornness instead of 40 days. That was the time it would have taken to go from Egypt to the promised land. God said, go and take it. And he said, instead of going around, they just went around all over the place for 40 years, and most of them died in the desert. That wasn't God's plan. It was their stubbornness. We are the same. So easy to criticize other people when we start, we do exactly the same thing. It takes us so long sometimes to receive things from God, and sometimes we don't even receive it, and we blame him because he doesn't get it. You know, the Jews blame God all along, all the way. That's why, that was the problem. They blame God because he wasn't doing the things their way, instead of them doing the things his way. Well, you don't get any, you are testing God. You are ticking him off. And he doesn't even get ticked off. That's the thing. See, it's just that we pay the consequences of our stupidity. Okay? So, this is important to understand. That just the same way we grow, as we grow and we open up and we receive and you got the understanding, your faith grows until the time when you can appropriate what is yours. Fourth point. Asking God. Seek, ask, that's important. With everything you got. But you know, just asking God is not enough. You have to ask God right, in the right way. Because if you ask God the wrong way, you get nowhere because it's contrary to what he says. I mean, the same thing as prayer. You can pray God, you can pray yourself in a hole. Because it's a prayer of not, it's the prayer of faith that's heal you, not any prayer. And unless you understand how to pray the prayer of faith, at the end of your prayer, instead of being your faith being strengthened, is weakened. That's why you had to pray the word, and you had to pray the right word. You know, you had to know what to pray about and how to pray about, for so that you are coming in contact with God and his perspective, not your perspective. Now, why is sometimes so difficult? Why have we had to deal with 2,000 years of wrong teachings? And well, this is the tradition of the church. God save us. God save us from the tradition of the church. If we go to the word instead of going to the tradition of the church, we get much farther. But often, you know, the way we look at the word is the way the tradition of the church taught us how to look at the word. So we get stuck. You see, we are just in a vicious circle. This is why it took 2,000 years for Jesus to come back instead of maybe 20 days. Well, I mean, this is what he's waiting for, isn't it? He's waiting for us. For the manifestation of the people that finally are waking up to the truth. I'm not the only one saying these things. Look. You know, when I go, I go and check out other people all the time, and I see, you know, Yeah. Who told him that I was thinking that way? I often say those things, you know. Who told me that he was thinking that way? But it's not the majority. The majority is always wrong. That's the law of democracy. That's not the way God works. Jesus himself said, Mark 7:13, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition. But I want to read something else, because generally people stop here. There is more interesting thing coming after, which you have heard handed down. And many such things you do. Oh, I didn't put it in here. But it says, you know, and the Holy Spirit will give it to you. You see, we break the tradition of man through the revelation that the Holy Spirit brings to us. Because it shows us the truth. See, what is the Holy Spirit? What's the name of the Holy Spirit? It's the Spirit of Truth. He shows us the truth from the false ideas. He shows us things to come. Are not that give us prophetic statement about what's going to happen. It shows us the things that we had to change and they're going to experience afterwards. Oh, he's going to can give us prophetic experience, but that's not the key thing. The key thing is each one of us has to break loose from our bondages, from the things that we have kept us limited because of wrong beliefs. Are you following me? One of the major problems about this is the people often that we admire or respect and their failures. Because no matter how great they weren't perfect. Jesus was the only one perfect. Okay. And when we see somebody failing, and not getting the results, we say, well, this is the normal thing, because this is somebody I look up and that's where we get stuck. You see, we accept their mistakes instead of moving behind. We have to look at Jesus. Jesus had no one failure in his life. He never... Actually, I would say, nobody ever could impose anything on Jesus. Because whenever there was a problem, we were trying to kill him and everything else, he just walked out, just like nothing. The only time when they did something to him, because he willingly went there and says, go ahead, I'm ready. Even that was the greatest victory that he had. Because after they did all they did, he just got out of the tomb. I mean, he just walked out again. Another time, he did what he did always before. Only that this time they did much worse to him, and he still walked out. You see what I mean? He was never a loser. And he has the victory now. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's ready to come back. Hallelujah. I get excited at the idea. I want to go and meet him up there. There is nothing here that words compared to going and meeting him up there. But we had to really believe it though. And we had to really live consistently with that. Because the way we live shows what we really believe. Are you following me? Now, these four principles, you know, four ideas are critical for you to be able to move on to do some of the things that we are going to discuss later on. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck with things that are not going to be able to figure it out. I mean, they're not going to match up. You know, this, you have to resolve within your mind these four things and come to term with it. Okay, because take for example healing. You know, some people says, you know, healing. Well, when God does the healing, you know, it's happening. Don't, you can't lose it. Baloney. Nonsense. you can lose your salvation. Isn't that the biggest stealing of them all? Oh, well, no, once saved, always saved. Oh, yeah, sure. Nonsense. Read the Bible. Doesn't say that. Are you following what I'm saying? You can lose your healing. Doesn't mean that God didn't heal you. The thing is, what you have to realize, when you receive healing and you lose it, well, you received healing before. You already have a positive experience to base yourself on. If he did it once, he's going to do it another time. You know, don't let the enemy rob you of the victory that you had before. If he did it once, he can do it again. That's the right way of thinking. Not the other, oh, I lost it now. I had to work for it. No, you don't work to get healed. You believe to get healed. Okay? And believing means that you are separating yourself from the beliefs of the other things and uniting yourself with believing what the Word of God says. Yeah, that part you have to do. If you are not willing to do that, well, I'm sorry. You cannot go by the flesh and be obtaining spiritual results. You know, what is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. You don't need to know many scriptures. You know, if you have maybe 20 scriptures, you have enough theology to manage and to be overcome. But you have to have the right scripture that you know. God wants you to be an overcomer. Can you say overcomer?
Overcomer.
Are you convinced?
Yes.
Overcomer. I mean, do you feel like an overcomer? Something will say yes. Something will shake the head. Something will say maybe. I don't know. You know.
Do I?
That's fine. Well, you know, this is what we had to come to the place that we believe. See, this is our identity in Christ, is overcomer. Because you cannot be like Christ and not being an overcomer. You know, like being over Christ doesn't mean that you look like him or that you speak in Aramaic or whatever. Or you have a beard or you long hair or whatever, or short hair or sandals or a tunic. That doesn't make you like Jesus. Overcomer makes you like Jesus. I want to be an overcomer. I always wanted to be an overcomer. I don't want to be a loser. Jesus was not a loser. Are you following what I'm saying? Do you think this is going to be an interesting topic? You see, this is what we need. That's why I keep pushing, because I can see that most people just come short of that because of lack of understanding about these two things, the way the Holy Spirit works and the heart, the way the heart works. So if we talk about the heart, we're going to be taking the heart apart to be able to understand the way we work. Because it's that what has to be changed. And God cannot do it for us. He did it already. Okay, let's close in prayer. Did you get anything today? Father, thank you that, Lord, that your word is power. Your word is victory. Your word, Lord, is everything we need to become overcomers. These are precious promises you give to us. And through them, we overcome the corruption of the world. We praise you and thank you. Give you praise and honor, Lord. Help us to come to your word with a clear slate so that the tradition of man does not affect us, but we may come to realize and understand what you are saying to us and receive it and appropriate it and make it a reality in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.